This episode of Nature of Things originally aired September 4th, 1987.
A couple of weeks ago, I reported on the growth of sumac and some of the implications of its spread at Baltimore Woods and Rice Creek. In both cases, once wide open vistas have gradually disappeared behind a growing screen of hardwoods. That thought was reinforced by an occurrence just this last week, when I chanced to visit for the first time in 20 years some favored haunts of yesteryear. One favored spot along this rural route west of Oswego, you top the hill to see spread out before you a vista of farmlands and orchards culminating in a thin slice of Lake Ontario at the horizon a few miles off. That was 20 years ago. I approached the spot with some anticipation this time, only to find strips of roadside housing removing the rural atmosphere completely. No matter that, however, for the vista I used to enjoy was also lost, screened again by shrubs and trees. Worst of all, that sliver of blue, blue lake had disappeared, having receded like the setting sun behind the screening vegetation. This reminded me once again of another thought I've shared before. In colonial times, beautiful vistas were relatively scarce. An Indian moved to seek out the long view of the countryside would have to have known his spots well, or have done a lot of tree climbing. In that way only, we are actually moving backward toward the frontier. Fields that once grew trees, cleared to graze cattle or raise corn and wheat, have reverted again to growing trees and shrubs. Where meadowlark and bobolink once serenaded ripening clover and alfalfa, the wood thrush will soon again be offering his vesper hymn. That's progress, isn't it? In many places, of course, it's a short-lived progression, because the next move will be to clear the trees again, at least enough of them to allow for planting of a house and attendant lawns and outbuildings. If the new owner plays his cards right, he won't have to lose the flute-like song of the wood thrush. There's a critical intermix of open land and cover required for such a happy coincidence. It's amazing, in a way, the magnitude of the change which those two decades have produced in that once bucolic scene. But they are only tokens compared to the monumental changes of the last two centuries. In 1787, most of Onondaga County and Oswego counties harbored untouched forests 100 feet deep. The invasion of the white man had hardly commenced as yet. Black bears, turkeys, and moose may have outnumbered the men at that time. The semi-annual clouds of wild pigeons were at their zenith. By 1887, that all had changed. A maximum percentage of land was then under cultivation, an acreage never to be equaled since, despite the mechanization and increase in chemical technology that followed. More acres were under cultivation in 1887 than in the 30 golden years of agriculture which followed World War II. That's a significant statistic. Perhaps no episode in the saga of our relationship with the land was more momentous. During the golden years, production skyrocketed, while acreage used dwindled. The two statistics are indeed antithetical. Agriculture's great success, in a way, sowed the seeds of its eventual failure hereabouts. That's business. That's also history, however. It's what we have now that really counts. And we are, in some ways, in many places, moving back towards frontier conditions. However, in another more important way, we are creating conditions in no way in keeping with the frontier. This became clear to me just this last week when a perfect stranger asked me this question. We're going to build a house. One piece of land we like is a beautiful little valley, but it's only a half mile down the hill from a landfill. Do you think we should be concerned about a well there? What a question. Obviously, I couldn't answer it, but I couldn't reassure her either. Such a piece of real estate, beautiful as it is definitely scarred. The long-range implications of this seem as important to me as those which involve Nicaragua and Iran. Obviously, the present administration is not concerned. Well, I don't know anything about politics and economics, but I still suggest you think it over, because I do know something about environment. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.